Hey, podcasters. Before I get to the episode, I want to take a moment to address the June 24th Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. This decision stripped away the legal right to have a safe and legal abortion. Restricting access to comprehensive reproductive care, including abortion, threatens the health and independence of all Americans. This decision could also lead to the loss of other rights. To learn more about what you can do to help, go to choice.crd.co. That's choice.crd.co. And I encourage you to speak up on your podcast as well. Take care and spread the word. Welcome to another podcast pontification with me, Evo Terra. Today I am talking about the listener experience and what it means for your most valuable or one of your most valuable audiences, the new listener. Now, maybe this rings a bell to some of you. You're listening to a podcast, perhaps you're producing a podcast. You say, let's not forget to tell the listeners to subscribe. And so what do we say? We say things like, don't forget to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, or we might even say iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Spreaker, blah, 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 blah. All these places. Great. And the idea is we're going to convince somebody to go actually subscribe. Well, I just read a wonderful article this morning on Medium by James Cridland, a critic of the radio as well as podcasting industry. Radio veteran now turned into podcasting and wonderful pod news. Thank you, James. Always enjoy reading your stuff because we seem to be aligned. And he had an article up on Medium, and he makes the following assertion. I'm going to quote this from his article. Apple Podcasts app is not the right place to convince people to listen to podcasts. And you know what? He's right. Because most podcast consumption happens on the go. So those people are probably already listening to you right now. So telling someone who is on the go to go subscribe to a different device isn't going to help you whatsoever. What James suggests you do instead is when you're saying to your audience, which is important to do, that you should listen to me on a regular basis, he says two things. One, you shouldn't even talk about the various apps that are out there because that's not helpful. What you likely should do is just drive people to a page on your website, your podcast page, where you give them the options. Now, if you're listening, you're saying, well, of course, Evo, that's what I do. And I give them all of the options. Yeah, that's the problem. Remember, these are newbies. Remember, most of the people on the planet, unless you're in South Korea, most of the people on the planet have never listened to a podcast. Or if they have, it's only been a quick sampling. They are certainly not regular. Regular listenership is only in the 20 percentile. Only around 20%-ish, maybe 30%, depending on how you listen or how you read. And that's behavior studies. Listen to podcasts on a regular basis. So we're not helping them by telling them about this crazy process. It's easy to listen to a single podcast episode. You go to a web page and you press play, right? Right? Why don't we do that, podcasters, on our podcast web pages? That's what James is suggesting. If somebody is viewing your page, they probably don't know how to subscribe. They don't understand this whole process. So why not put a big fat play button, James says. I take it one step further. Rather than putting a play button, I think you should put a very good-looking media player. I prefer the Radio Public player. It just looks really, really good for that particular episode. Or it actually connects to your feed, so your most recent episode is always there. Make it easy to listen. Just push play is the message James is trying to get across. Now, he's also trying to get across the fact that you shouldn't list out a litany of possible places that you can, that a new person could subscribe to a show. That's not important. James says, and I agree, that you should have two. Google Podcasts, because that's built into every single Android user out there, or at least the infrastructure is built for all of them, or two, Apple Podcasts. Now, that's James's suggestion, and I think those are the two that you should lay on your page. I suggest two more. For the noobs, those are right. They can self-select. Oh, I'm an iOS user. Click here. Oh, I'm an Android user. Click here. But You also need to understand there might be people coming to your page who listen to podcasts already. And so for them, I think you also need to include the exposed raw RSS feed itself. Not as a link, but I expose it as a text field, and you can look at my page, shivo.wtf/, /podcast. Of course, you're on a mobile phone, it won't actually work. You'll get to my website, shivo.wtf, and navigate to the page that says Start Listening Now. That way we're not gating it based on your mobile device. And you'll see how I have done that. And I have those three things listed. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, an exposed RSS feed. But the fourth thing that I do, and I think this should be added to your page too, is give people an option. Give noobs an option to listen via email. Now, MailChimp makes it very easy to set up a completely separate list that people can subscribe to with one click. You can then make an RSS feed enable. I know I'm getting kind of geeky. You can make it so that when your RSS feed, which is what your podcast goes out on, when it updates, then the emails are automatically sent by MailChimp to your subscribers. Will you get a lot that way? Probably not. But it depends. If your audience of noobs is coming through, hitting that page who've never heard of a podcast, you're the first person to mention this thing to them. They drive to this page and they see all these weird apps they have to install, or they see this button that says email. What are they going to do? Hopefully, they'll just listen via email. That's fine for you. You don't care. You do not care, or you should not care, where people listen to your show. They should just simply listen. That's the part you care about. So, to recap in the 2 minutes I have left of this video. One, make a giant play. Make that the most important thing on your page. I recommend doing it with an app. I recommend doing that with an embedded player that automatically updates from your RSS feed. Radio Public has a nice one. They're not paying me to say this, but I think it's the best looking one that's free that I have seen. If you have another player you prefer to use, please let me know. Radio Public player looks good. One, put that big fat player on your podcast page so they can just listen. Two, make the subscription options super easy. In fact, James goes so far as to say, stop talking about subscribe. And I want to do that too, but I've been saying it for the last 14 years and it's hard to not say subscribe. But do put links to the Google Podcasts app and the Apple Podcasts app right underneath that player and let them listen to their on the go. Maybe that's what you call it, listen on the go. Maybe that's the right verbiage. I don't know. I haven't thought that through. That's two. Three, I think you should also include your RSS feed link exposed for the people who know about podcasting, who have a preferred app, who don't want to go search, they just want to feed it in there. Yes, you should totally do that. And four, the more important, well, not necessarily the more important, but equally as important to the other steps I've listed out here, is let people subscribe by email. And MailChimp makes that very, very simple to do. But the other, everything I've talked about is free. Totally free podcaster, so I'm not asking you to spend any more money. If you do that, you will have created a much better listening experience for the new person who doesn't know what this whole podcasting thing is all about. Make a better listening experience by optimizing your page, your podcast page. That is my suggestion. Again, my name is Evo Terra. I launch podcasts for professional service providers as well as principles of businesses. So if you need somebody's help doing all this, who's got forever experience in doing it and focus solely on the business audience, why, that's me. Contact me. Podcastlaunch.pro is where you can find out more information about me. And I shall now say adieu. I'll be back here tomorrow with one more show, another podcast pontification. Thanks for watching. Cheers.
While Americans overwhelmingly support the right of an individual to make their own decisions about abortion, unfortunately, that right is no longer protected everywhere in the U.S. The Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade on June 24th. Abortion is a basic healthcare need for the millions of people who can become pregnant. Everyone should have the freedom to decide what's best for themselves and their families, including when it comes to ending a pregnancy. This decision has dire consequences for individual health and safety, and could have harsh repercussions for other landmark decisions. Restricting access to comprehensive reproductive care, including abortion, threatens the health and independence of all Americans. Even if you live in a state where abortion rights are upheld, access to safe medical procedures shouldn't be determined by location, and it shouldn't be the privilege of a small few. You can help by donating to local abortion funds. To find out where to donate for each state, visit donationsforabortion.com. That's donations, the number 4, abortion.com. If you or someone you know needs help, or if you want to get more involved, here are 5 resources. 1, Shout Your Abortion is a campaign to normalize abortion. 2, Don't Ban Equality is a campaign for companies to take a stand against abortion restrictions. 3, abortion.cafe has information about where to find clinics. 4, PlanCPills.org provides early at-home abortion pills that you can keep in your medicine cabinet. And 5, choice.crd.co has a collection of these resources and more. We encourage you to speak up. Take care and spread the word.